sitting on the ground, creating an illusion as the world goes round. Places where folks inhabit have a geometric grace, circles, squares, sometimes triangles. It's an action of repeat, act of doing, act of saying something bitter, something sweet. Act of light that keep occurring, ghosts appearing through the sound, waving at us from the distance, 'cause the whole wide world is round and round and round.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio's fundraising drive for 2022 was a tremendous success. Thanks to our listeners, our goal of $70,000 was exceeded. Stitching communities together brought folks together for the love of independent media. The beloved KBOO community extends gratitude to our members, supporters, staff, and board. And a big thank you to our volunteer programmers. Your on-air support was the backbone of this membership drive. Tax receipts are available. Please send your request to membership@kboo.fm. Since 1968, KBOO has relied on members to support grassroots broadcasting. Thank you.
Did you know that KBOO is streaming live on the web? Well, you do now. Just type www.kboo.fm, click on Listen Live, and you've got us. Just another example of how KBOO 90.7 FM Portland works for you. It's your community radio.
Makes you such a threat. We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Joshua.
Greetings and good day and welcome my relatives. I shake your hands with a good heart. This is a voice from Earth. It's good for all of us to be here. You are listening to First Voices Radio and Teokasen Ghost Horse, sending you greetings and strength from the highlands of the Esopus, what Americans or what Americans and Dutch call the Catskill Mountains. Regardless, it is the highlands of the Esopus and the lands of the Muncie-speaking Lenape. This is an all-native-hosted, all-native-produced First Voices Radio. And Liz Hill from the Red Lake and Anishinaabe Nation is the producer of First Voices Radio. You can hear us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Spotify, as well as First Voices IndigenousRadio.org for archive downloading and listening. Well, today we have three guests live in studio as we come here out of Kingston, New York, is where we are. And I'd like to welcome these three guests, Christian Matute Sagbai, Rad Piera. Rad Piera and Diagande Hall. And we'll introduce Christian first, incarnated on the lands currently referred to as Gualaceo, that you've been here for quite a while, and I still say it the wrong way. Okay. Ecuador. Not too long ago, it was Quichua Canary territory, which it is still. This recognition of land and language has drawn Christian to the work of language justice. He's currently exploring this avenue of healing while keeping in mind the need for future generations to decolonize themselves through expansive and yet connective land-based principles. Our second guest, Diagande Hall, Mohawk of Akwesasne, is a Haudenosaunee community member and a two-spirit multidisciplinary artist based in their traditional homelands in so-called upstate New York. Their medium of expression weaves between ancestral food cultivation, storytelling, community organizing, hip-hop lyricism, beat production, and sound engineering. Their primary focus of their work is claiming space for Native folks to re-indigenize and find movement and joy in their interconnected liberation of our bodies, spirit, and land. Diagande is currently working on a food sovereignty project in the Hudson Valley called Iron Paths Farms, and you can find it at Iron Path Farms. Rad Piera, said it two ways, they, them, is a queer trans immigrant artist and cultural worker of Pindorama, Abiyala, Brazil, building consciousness between healing justice, system change, re-indigenization, and queer futures. They are based in Lenape Hoking, which is Brooklyn and Haudenosaunee territory, northern Hudson Valley. Their work in performance, education, facilitation, and social practice has been experienced on fields, stages, screens, stoops, and sidewalks all over Turtle Island. They are co-founder of You Are Here, a community-based organism that creates art and healing opportunities for and with queer artists and healers. And I would say BIPOC, but I want to put this in order, folks. Indigenous, Black, and then people of culture. It's no longer people of color. So anyway, they co-wrote Meeting the Moment, Socially Engaged Performance, 1965-2020, by those who lived it with their mentor, Jan Cohen Cruz, available through New Village Press. They are director of engagement and impact at New York Stage and Film. They are building a Native-led food sovereignty and world-building project called Iron Path Farms. They are a solidarity economy organizer working across platforms, communities, and industries. So at RAD is where you can reach Rad Piera. So I would begin this with those good words that I said in another language and ask you, our friend Christian, to begin us out.
Many blessings, gratitude for this moment, wanting to just acknowledge our great mother, sister, just thank you for being here through this water as we take a sip. Gratitude to you all, to the lands. Blessing.
Yeah.
So rich, so grateful as we flow. Just starting to connect right now with the water by really sitting with it in the cold. I've been invited to just get in the what we know now as the Connecticut River, but I lack of my connection to the history there. Just understanding what that is in these times, but seeing how I am really wanting to adapt to these changes in both the shifts in climate, the shifts in the social climate that we're living in, and acknowledging all these things that we have. And this is the way that I do it, is through the water. So wanting to acknowledge the fluidity and the lessons that come through that.
Now. That's a good way to start out, because you're often, as we know as indigenous folks, we are ecocentric people, not so much anthropocentric. So it's good to realize what gives us and restores our ecosystem within us. And those thoughts come from clean water and clean food and clean land and all that. But what clutters them up so that we don't treat the earth clean anymore? And that's where we'll start with that. And this is one of those programs where there is no agenda. We didn't have a plan. We're going to talk about what we feel and bring that on, as you started it out. And it's what gives us purpose, is this water and the fire and the air and light, right? So I'll start with that, and just get y'all to join in, and thank you very much for joining us. And I had the pleasure of meeting Rad and Diogande in a local establishment here. And after it was all done and said for, I said, how did you meet? And you both said, well, there was a sign, but I'd rather you tell the story here. Rad?
Sure. Thanks so much for having us, and thanks for the opening blessing, Christian. We actually met on the interwebs, but I knew Dio loved me. When they sent me a video of this blinking neon sign that said radio, and I put two and two together, and our names together are Radio, Rad, and Dio.
You didn't know that, Christian?
I did not hear the story, and I can't stop smiling.
Sorry, our first radio appearance, yep. Honored to be here.
Yeah. That's a little cohesive. Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you've done radio, maybe not, but you've been on the media before, which seems to be your work to get the word out about Earth and Iron Path Farms and all that. But the movement of re-indigenizing, that seems to be this generation's purpose to me, your generation and the one between us, right, or after us, way after us, is what do we do? And how does one do that? Do we change the language? Do we speak it differently? Do we do positive and negative? How do we do it? Because I often refer to it as the view from the shore. We're the only ones who didn't come on ships, right? So if we're a view from the shore, whose view are we giving? Is it the view? Are we the ones on the ships? No. Indigenous folks are the view from the shore. See, that changes thinking a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually recalling right now a time when we were just talking to Reb Dele. I don't know if everyone knows or connects to Reb Dele. You can find them at youtube.com/Reb Dele. But one of the stories that was coming through is connecting to our indigenous teachings, is when we're thinking of this concept of Christianity, you know, that's my name is Christian, like there's something of this that I'm like still healing from, and there's much work there. But when the ships came, just one of the stories was like, okay, you know, meeting each other, and they're like, yeah, we, you know, the colonizers or those coming in the ships came and said, yeah, we have this, we have a religion, and this religion is about, you know, God, this oneness. Oh yeah, and then they talking to the native folks, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, we have that too. Okay, we also brought this idea of just forgiveness. Oh yeah, yeah, we have that too. But we also have this idea of hell and of this, and then you know they stop and go to the neighboring people and commune, and then come back, and they're like, no, actually, we don't have that. That's a thought that, as I said, a belief system we don't have. And so it was just really trying to point out that, you know, at this time where we find ourselves, why have we adapted? Speaking of exactly what you're talking right now, why have we adapted? Why have we been mentality of even scarcity, of separation, and the lack of especially lack of connection to the earth. When we're talking about God, when we're talking about oneness, mm-hmm. Why does that not include protection and sovereignty for the earth herself and our own deep, deep spiritual connection to her? And so just something that really came through.
Yeah, that that resonates as well, just thinking of, you know, re-indigenizing and, like, you know, what that even means, and wanting to kind of just expand on that too, of reframing, you know, it's like we did the decolonial work, we've identified, you know, the isms and all of that, and you can't, I firmly believe you can't stay in resistance for so long, you know, like that's just a friction on a friction. So part of re-indigenizing is like reframing your view as an indigenous person to what sustained us prior to contact, you know, and that involves imagination, that involves research, that involves being connected to your cultures and communities and languages and the earth, you know, and then that is part of removing the colonizer and putting, rematriating, you know, re-indigenizing, creating a new indigenous context and lens to look at the world.
Is that, Tigande, is that kind of like you do the work yourself, re-indigenize yourself in order to, how do I put it, it takes more intelligence to unlearn what we've been forced to learn. And that's the bigger task, because it's easier, because we were told, since the system said you go from first grade until 12th grade and there's further on, but it was all a road. The other part I'm thinking about is, how do we unlearn this? You know, how do we unlearn? Because it's going to take that gumption, I would say, for lack of a better thought, to re-indigenize ourselves, to unlearn what we've learned.
Absolutely. I mean, that makes me think of muscle memory. And as a dancer and someone who was trained up in Eurocentric versions of performance, there was so much focus on muscle memory. Train your muscles to be able to do this without thinking. Train yourself, train your mind, train all parts of yourself. You know, it felt like they were shaping me to be a cog of the performance machine, you know, to be a part of the entertainment industry. And for me, one of the parts of re-indigenizing myself as individually was unlearning that muscle memory. You know, there was a lot of time that I spent reading and trying to think my way out of it. And like, I thought I could theorize my way out into unlearning. And then there was a point where, my body was, and my bones and my blood were like, it felt like screaming and like shouting for me that like, I cannot brain my way through this. I has to be through my body and in firing up my intuition and listening to the ancestral technologies that are within me, that many of them have been hiding for so long, waiting for me to shed light on them and to reconnect with them. And so for me, that idea of unlearning and how much hard work it is, it's going to take my whole life. And hopefully my kids will be able to really walk an embodied path of being their fully indigenous selves without having to kind of have a foot in both worlds all the time, you know, unlearning while relearning, which it is for me. Yeah, so I wish that world for them.
That resonates so much with me as well, because I literally stepping into my language justice journey meant, you know, first of all, recognizing Spanish also as a colonizer language, and yet how to use what I've been shown in order to like commune with folks that are still using that type of thinking, separating themselves from the earth so much and going through the systems like schooling, college, engineering, all these things that people in this society value so much, and yet being able to let that go, as in like composting. So when we're talking about re-indigenizing, for me is very simple, is even starts at the food scraps that I carry now, and taking care of that and finding a compost and seeing the connection between that and the belief systems that I had, you know, and like being able to just like doing this process, of course, extremely hard. Depression, anxiety, many, many thoughts that want you to disconnect yourself so much from the systems take place. But that's when I was fighting and using the same colonial ways to approach this healing mentality. And so what I'm trying to, I guess, say is when I'm composting, I see by letting it go, by adding the materials that are necessary and conducive to that decomposing process, that the earth takes care of it. And so in what ways can I do that with my son, starting at the language level, and then showing, and less like talking and also showing, was to merge ourselves in the water, go into streams, taking a walk, showing him, you know, this composting thing. And it's not a task that we're like, oh God, I gotta do this today. It's like, oh wow, we're like engaging ourselves as part of the process of what gives us also fruit in life. So like trying to implement these small ways, coming back to the land, doing things like what is now being referred to as like homesteading, you know, but just coming back into connection really with the land in the small ways are just baby steps towards showing him what's possible and stepping out of my mind, out of my head so much. And really, really, if I want to go deeper into it, but like not don't want to take up too much space here, is also this idea of connecting with the heart. You know, that for me, like if I want to like try to connect with folks using this language in Spanish and English, I want to say, bring it as simple as that. Like the heart is connected to the earth in magnetic ways. And there's researchers around that as well through the Heart Math Institute. But how the heart creates a magnetic field, the earth has a magnetic field, all life has a magnetic field. These are just left brain approaches of us in that intuitively through indigenous practice, we're just engaging normally. But if you want to be able to utilize this language, these words, in order to say, hey, there's an outlet, look at this research. If you really don't think there's a connection there somewhere, here it is. But also forget about that and just compost, you know.
No, it's interesting to hear that. We're speaking with Christian Matute Sagbai, Rad Piera, and Digande Hall. And I was thinking along the lines that since intuition is involved here, earlier today I was talking to some people who were planning to bring sort of this thinking to the forefront at a local establishment here, which is in the future. And what I'm thinking came out of that is I speak a different language. I speak English, of course. You speak Spanish, you speak Portuguese, and whatever we speak. We all speak English. And I can hear my Western mind go, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with speaking these languages the way we see it? There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a different perspective. And so if I bring Lakota thinking, the way it's taught in the local area region of the center of North America, which is the Black Hills of South Dakota, and I try to apply the way we see the stars here in Kingston, it's not going to fit. Mm-hmm. So this language we speak, we're communicating with, will that be able to someday fit on this land? And that's why I talk about red angles, right? Is it really about red angles, or is it there's a language and languages that understand the same thing and decide the planet? Mm. Just like when you describe the intuition of the compost teaching you, right? Rather than us showing it, it's teaching you. So I'm that kind of thinker. So is that indigenizing or re-indigenizing? Because we can get stuck on a word and say, well, we got to redefine it and take it and change the weather, you know, change the web type of thing, like crazy thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Good words. Good thoughts. I love compost too. So I'm like, shout out to all the composts that are working right now as absolutely, we speak.
Absolutely.
Yeah, compost is gives comfort in the winter months where you're thinking ahead to like what you're going to grow. So I love composts.
Yeah.
Nothing goes to waste, you know. As an indigenous person, you're like, where can this go? What can I do with this? I'm in an urban setting. Oh, the spring's coming. Yeah. I'm content to my compost.
Yeah. So we are in an urban setting. How does that work? I mean, you talk about it, but you're kind of...
I'm like in the forest a little bit, so I have, you know, some privacy there sometimes, you know, in the urban setting it can have. But there's if you really want to do it, you can do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For me, we just have some trees. We make it really simple. Some branches, break that up, make a little square, and we have a barrier from any animals getting in there. And then we do our thing there too, you know? So mm-hmm. Just trying to keep it as simple and not, like, destructive to the land as possible.
I wanted to ask all of you, Rad, you talked about being a cultural worker of Pindorama. What does that mean? Of Pindorama from someplace in Brazil?
Well, Pindorama is kind of like Turtle Island for us. That's okay. Our word. That's our indigenous, the folks that I'm around. That's their reference to the lands that they're on, and it's the name of a tree. Mm. Yeah, so I like to call it by its original name in my worldview, you know, and in my experience. And to me, cultural worker means artist, organizer, educator, mm-hmm. and uniting those things to be a cultural worker, and especially interested in culture shift, which to me is also a crucial part of re-indigenization, you know, like our media, our art, and those stories that we tell are such a crucial part of how we're treading on this earth. And so to me, that's one of my gifts that was passed on to me, is what stories are we telling and how are we telling them? And how can we bring our ancestors with us in those stories that we're telling, and not just doing it in an industrial way?
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of how we standardize our languages, because I've had to, indigenous languages, standardize it to where, in this book I've just read and I'll be being able to talk, is hospicing modernity. What is modernity, and why are indigenous peoples left out of that? Because modernity seems to be hospicing itself, you see, and we don't want to go there because we know it's resource-based, and if it keeps extracting, this is what it's really saying, hospicing modernity, that it keeps extracting and not regenerating like you're doing with compost. Yeah, there's some thoughts in it. There's a question in that, too.
I mean, that makes me think about the difference of sustainability versus regeneration, right? Yeah. And that, like, climate people into green stuff will come up with, like, the latest trendy ideas and, like, slow culture. And we're like, yep, we've been here. Like, that's our entire, that's like, yep, welcome, you know, and it's like these little band-aids that I think they try to keep doing, and then they reach their natural life cycle, right? And they're not actually, there's no longevity there.
Yeah. Hmm. You know, one thing, I was reading through your bios here, it's like, it doesn't have any PhD or any masters. I'm like, what's wrong with this picture, right? There's nothing wrong with it, because that's one way to re-indigenize, is to leave all of those, yeah, because they're pieces of paper that kind of misguided me. So now it's coming through. But yeah, I mean, just, we're only warming up, folks. We're here and we're sitting in the studio with this type of glass that I told you about. And why is that we have to sit on a studio when this could be a campfire, this could be a fire that we're reigniting here? And some folks are trying to wonder, where are you taking these folks, Teokasin? What are you talking of? What's your purpose? What's your plan? What's your agenda? Mm. Is there an agenda?
Not for us, besides, like, just sharing and speaking up about what's good inside our heart, you know, in this moment, and how that can be a guiding inspiration for your own creativity, for what really comes through for you. What do you want to talk about? You know what I mean? Like, bring that to the table. And for us right now, it's really important, like you're saying, to just step into this idea so we can set up our future generations, you know, for something that's maybe a little more connected and less, like, you know, separate. So
yeah,
what's up?
Yeah, you know, and it's nice to be here to converse and convene with other natives. And now I'm imagining that campfire between us, you know, just sharing stories and good words. This time it just happens to be going out over the airwaves for people to enjoy. So what a gift and a blessing to be gathered here with you all. So, Nyawa for that, too.
Yeah, Nyawa is thank you. Right? Ah, see. How do you do that?
Oh yeah, I just snaps. Snap,
so
snap,
you know, snap. time, whatever went to, it's gone.
Oh yeah.
For this half hour.
Oh, okay.
So we're gonna jump right into taking a break, right, as they call it, and come back with this after this song, which is Jungle.
Yeah.
This is First Voices Radio. My name is Teokasin Ghost Horse. And in studio, we have Christian Matute Sagbai, Rad Pierda, and Diagande Hall. We're sitting in conversation. It seems like we can talk freely when the red lights aren't on and the microphone. But here we are. And yeah, we're just warming up. We have another good 20 minutes. So What is that urgency that you feel? Is to, you said yes to come in on the radio right away because maybe you felt something, I don't know. Maybe you thought something, let's do this, basically. So what was that urgency to have you come on the radio?
I love radio. I love talking, and I love like what you can't see that's beyond here, like these airwaves that are taking my words beyond. Mm. And what's out there I can't see, but I'm talking and hoping to reach you all. And I did radio in college. I was at WSUC Cortland 90.5, The Dragon. I'm happy to be back here, you know, connecting with people in such a way. When I was at Cortland, I intentionally leave out like my academic accolades.
Yeah.
Because I think on the East Coast a lot people lead with that, you know, like they're what the institution has given them and taught them. And you know, I spent time on the West Coast and I was like, nobody is sharing their resume when they meet me. And I appreciated that, and I worked to take it out. But when I was there at Cortland, SUNY Cortland State School, I did radio production.
Yeah.
So it's a welcome space for me to be back, you know. And we're new to the area. I mean, my family's been here for 13 generations, but beyond that, I'm new to this literal space of Kingston, so wanting to connect and share with people, you know, like I mentioned, I'm an artist. We're working on a food sovereignty project as well locally and continuing to build community, which feels so important wherever we go.
Yeah, for the quote-unquote short time that you were here, I also came to this area, Saugerties, Kingston area, in like late 2019, right before the pandemic. But for the short time that we've been here, I feel like we've really like grown to connect with a lot of community members that we know each other way before we even actually got to meet each other, you know. And so I think that speaks a lot to the spirit behind the energy and where we're coming from as as this generation comes. I think that's important to highlight, you know. We really wanted to weave by also disentangling ourselves from what was holding us back. So for me, it always comes, it's a joy to speak about this because I too remember like going through the journey, the mental gymnastics of like, okay, I guess I'm in high school now, I gotta apply for college, and I gotta get this title thing. And you know, much respect, honestly, I gotta say much respect to my mom for all the struggle and all and everything that she faced to come here, and her wish was for me to be one of those professionals with the plaques on the walls and all the stuff. So I don't want to try to degrade any of the effort that she did and all the suffering that she did. And at the same time, I got to a point where all that was really depressing. It was really depressing me. And so being like, exactly what you're saying is actually just being highlighted here. Hey, like, it's just a paper. I don't want that to define who I am or limit where I can go or what I can speak about and all these things. If I have to uphold this thing that I'm being trained to speak on. So, you know, just level to the immigrant parents out there. You know, we're here for a reason, and we can still do that from an indigenous point of view, which I know much of my earlier history with my parents and stuff was to sort of run away from that because we didn't want to be seen as poor. We didn't want to see us just working the land and farming, right? Like, what is that? What are you talking about? I'm like, that's survival. Like, that's wisdom. So I know my granddad, which I never got to meet in person. I hear that he was very connected in that way. And so, you know, I carry a lot of that energy and really wish to like embody more of that, more and more respect. And yeah, just bring this through. Like, I gotta let go of some of that old school office training mentality, and like, I just gotta highlight what's in front of me. What you see is not necessarily what you always get. There's so much more there. But you know what I'm saying? Like, let's be a community. Let's talk. You know.
Well, I've known Christian for what, four years maybe.
Yeah, around
maybe time. Since I first got up here.
And, yeah.
You know, we shared bread together, water, fires, and conversation deeply or not. Met his family, watched his little one grow up, and see, he was little one, right? And just movement of so happy to see people of culture, people, indigenous peoples from other parts of the world come here. I'm like, oh, this feels just like home to me,
yeah.
Right? In the older generation, it's like, oh, yeah, this is why I'm here to see this happen.
Right.
Right?
I feel like there's something really special going on I mean, there's a confluence right now, and I feel it it's so close to the skin. It's so powerful here in Kingston. I was talking to our friend Inno, Innocence Powell, shout out, Abundance Farms, hosts these amazing just community hangouts around a fire, and I met this public school teacher who was a public school teacher here in Kingston for 30 years, and he was telling me that, you know, over the last 5 years, it went from there being, I think it was something like, I'm ballparking it here, it was something like 40% black students, 30% white students, and 30% mixed bag of the rest. And he said in the last 5 years, it's 70% quote unquote Latinos, which, as many of us know, mostly indigenous folks from the South. Right. And, you know, a consequence and a product of so much upheaval that is going on in our homelands. And it's just been, I felt a similar thing, Tiokasin, when I was looking around here, and I'm like, oh my gosh, so many of these people look like my cousins and my family, and there's so many. And so I think that's one of the things that brought us some, I don't know if urgency is the word, but hope and excitement and passion is to connect the North and the South here, you know, and
this lifetime's about.
Hey, go off.
Yeah, uniting the North and the South.
That's the condor and the eagle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's incredible. You were talking about Latina, right? Mm-hmm. Are you from Greece?
Exactly, right? No, that's exactly it. It's
I say Latin, no.
Latino, exactly.
That's great. No, it's the gentrification of the language.
Or Hispanic.
That keeps us into you know, this non-indigenous way of thinking. Mm. It's getting out of the right angles. Mm. Like fire would be good. We can talk about anything and still feel it. And you know, going back in my studies, and someday you might go into this if not already, is that, wow, what if we had a language without nouns? Mm. And we're just into the, you call it vibe, the movement, the motion, and we can describe it that way because it's alive and not subjected, objectified.
So so you're not able to separate yourself from what's happening. So the beingness of it, of being in action with it. Love that.
Yeah, and that's what I think is, I've been sort of promoting it, not advertising it, but that's what's in motion now. And I see your generation is so much there. It's learning how to express itself again, or express again the parts that the other generations was taken away from. And someone I was telling is like, I grew up at a time in before 1978 when we didn't have freedom of religion in this country, and I remember it. But that's history to somebody, but like, I'm history, no, I'm here because I remember it. And now it's going into the courts in this country where they're trying to say taking away indigenous children is what? And they want to adopt indigenous folks, indigenous children, but the native people are saying, no, we don't want that to happen. So they're reversing in racism and saying it's a racist law that we can adopt who we want to. But that applies to indigenous folks, right? And it's another way of gentrifying the language to make it not indigenous. You see where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Indian Child Welfare Act, that's what you're referring to, right? ICWA. Yeah.
ICWA. These basis is that a word? This basis of of understanding language, you know, what does it produce? And what are we seeding here? Are we reseeding the language that produced this language, these right angles, this pavement, which is the largest oil spill in the world, because it's everywhere. See, do we think beyond that, or we just come up with the good stuff that we can get out of civilization? You know?
Yeah. I mean, it makes me think a little bit about the native seeds and the seeds that are brought in. I don't exactly know at times how to come back to that native seed besides like gotta start decomposing, gotta start there, you know, but like just getting back to that sometimes, you know, and once again, sometimes realizing, hey, am I a transplant? How much of my transplantness can I really adapt here, and how much can I just be myself, you know? And at the end of it, I think it's I'm just gonna continue following my heart and intuition. So let's see where that leads me, mm-hmm. and I will learn along the way, you know. So,
no, that's a good thing. Wow, it's amazing to me that Christian could look like a cousin of mine. He could look like an aunt I had. And you could look like a sister I didn't have, maybe. You know, it's all of that. Wow, these guys, you know, they're here. You're here. And I think that's a good thing, like you said, the feeling. And I'm going to go to a place where perhaps maybe it's hard for some people to understand what we're talking about. And that's okay, because you look how long we have been dismissed as Indigenous folks. And we get 1 hour and prime time on Sundays, right? So people are trying to make sense of the conversations we're having, because we're just going all over the place, right. Which is a non-linear way to feel. And I always bring in, before I come in, I put down tobacco and say, come on in with me, Mother Earth. Mm. You know, be here with us, because we're still breathing you. You give us everything all the time, but what are we doing? You know, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? You know, so it's that. Those moments that she's always innocent, and we will never be with her like we are now to the next second. So we have to stay in the present, in the consciousness language, rather than the conscience of did I do the wrong or right thing, you see, and be channeled. So it's being able to come that way. Yeah. I'm glad you're on radio. You were on radio.
Yeah. Breaking free of that binary, yeah. That's what we call it, you know, the fluidity, that freedom of not having to exist, you know, within that channel or that narrowness. Yeah,
time travel to me is the way I think I overcome not knowing the languages of my ancestors. And I time travel through prayer, through dance, through especially dancing with my relatives, the winds and the waters, wherever I go. That to me feels like the way that I will, in my lifetime, I will be able to supersede this language that was given to me, but that is not mine. Is finding nonverbal ways to commune, you know, and to breach these multidimensional barriers that English will never give me access to. But that there's many other ways to get on that spaceship and find my way through.
You know, it just reminded me today, one of the happiest moments I had in growing up as a kid, but like today I was able to go to the beach here in Kingston, and just start collecting seeds, the pods, the water chestnut seed. We're just doing that, collecting a bunch of things. But then I climbed the tree. Like climbing trees is like one of the things I like, you know, we hug the tree first, acknowledge it. Can I climb you? Okay, thank you. Let's go. And just seeing that view from above, that allows me to sometimes stop time, sometimes to time travel and just get like a upload download situation. So these are all technologies we're inviting folks listening perhaps to just take more time and do that in your own beautiful ways, you know, whatever sparks your timelessness. We all have that. We have the capacity to tap into the timelessness.
Timelessness.
Yes.
It really says it. There really is no time like now. So the now language, and you will know along the lines that when we get these languages back, or we refer to them, our reference points, get to a place where there is no how present phobic language used. In native being, there's no present phobic language. But we speak that of this language as present phobic language. which is afraid of a lot of things, the future, the past, because we don't want to be here. So we lose ourselves in progress and all that manifestation, manifest destiny thinking. Like we're going to, you know, what is progress? That's not even a word. And you mentioned it earlier, sustainable. And the other word.
Regenerative.
Degenerative. Right. Mm-hmm. So in regeneration, right? And things like that, the gentrification is, wow, gentrification. You know, so I'm thinking along the lines that you and I, Degande, were on a panel about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And it was about gentrification panel. Yes. And one thing stuck out to me that, do we go to millionaires to ask them to help us out of this situation? You know?
Yeah.
Isn't it that the thinking that got us into trouble in the first place?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like there's, as a native, sometimes I've had to learn how to protect myself of what I call culture vultures, you know, people who they'll follow you or attach to you or, you know, just be a little too interested in my horoscope, back up.
Yeah. Yo.
But, you know, there's people then you find out way farther into your relationship or friendship, whatnot, that they have, you know, hundreds of acres that they're, you know, safeguarding, that they never mention that they have access to, you know, and accumulation of millions of dollars of wealth, and may have been gathering a lot of information and knowledge from you that they then can reappropriate or repurpose. And I think that's a lot of what capitalism is people who have the money and the means to take your ideas into something profitable faster than you may ever wish to, you know, or want to. Mm. So no millionaire friends.
That's right. Extractive minds, like my uncle would say, mining minds. Mm. Right, and he also says protect. You have to learn how to protect your spirit because we live in a time that our spirits can be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And what better lead-in is that? But the 4 minutes we have left or so is if artificial intelligence is saying it's the way of the future for everyone, are we resisting that? Or are we resilient to it? To use your play on words. Do we allow it to come into our lives and say, well, here you go, artificial intelligence, create a poem for me. But it's going to take all your algorithms and then put it out for you. And we go, wow, right? How much of that has it taken away of our own creativity?
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, too much of our focus, attention into the illusions. You know, I mean, if you can use technology to facilitate certain aspects of life, but not let that be your primary focus, maybe. If it's facilitating communication right now between us, and we're able to reignite our creativity, our intuition, beautiful. Mm. But how much farther do we need to integrate that in? I would be cautious. I would just be like, hey, you know, I appreciate that I can call my mom, I appreciate I can call my siblings. You know, I appreciate I can get to one place to another. I can get here. Great. Mm. Maybe there's another way to do that. Maybe there's a community way to do that. Mm. But I'll leave it at that.
Bring back the encyclopedias. Take a trip through that for some answers. Yeah. No more Googling. No, I'm just kidding. That's a big one to rely on, Google, right?
Yeah, go Ogle. Go Ogle. Yeah.
Go Ogle.
Old school.
Yeah.
Old school Google.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, because, you know, I'm so into not talking a war monger language. Because
right.
We know that happens, right? How did we settle our disputes? You know, and I think, by example, the lacrosse games.
Oh.
And that's how we did. We had stick games, too, in Dakotas, but in Latin America, right? They had the basketball game. They had those games to settle disputes, not go off and kill each other. And you hear these talk about war, and no one's really talking about Earth.
Hmm.
You know, so isn't the Earth spiritualities, the spiritual technology that she still can teach us?
Hmm.
Because after all, we don't really need these.
Yeah.
Because I remember we didn't need them then.
That's true.
Because we could talk like this, right? So, but any last thoughts, Rad?
I'll just respond to your question about the technology. And for me, it's everything in moderation, you know? Like, how heavily are you reliant on it? Are you addicted to it? And how much are you able to return to yourself and your body and connect with spirit? And if that's impossible, if your nervous system has trapped you into your relationship with your device and with technology, something's off. There's an imbalance. And then the second thing I'll say is check out our Iron Path Farms.
That's right.
And if you have any land you want to give back, get in touch.
Oh. Yeah, our project focuses on heirloom or traditional native seeds growing only Haudenosaunee corn, beans, and squash. So we're going to be doing beans and corn and some squash again this year, but new strains with some new food projects to look forward to throughout the year.
That's so cool.
Can you remind me of the pumpkin that I was able to recently just share and taste with you recently?
Yeah, we did a mutual aid project with the pumpkin that I grew. It was called Long Pie Pumpkin.
Long Pie, yeah.
That's like a squash.
Oh, Long Island?
No, it's a Haudenosaunee strain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was, wow, like I gotta show you, no one can really see right now, but I have this picture.
There's no pumpkin pie like this.
Yeah, there's no pumpkin pie like this. Sacha was just expressing what we were tasting. We're like, oh my goodness, what is this? So yeah, please go support these beautiful folks here. We love you, and just thank you so much for what you bring to the community, you know. We are.
And for you.
That's my gratitude right there. That's what I had. That's what I want to bring forth for me, you know. Shout out to Mama Mika right now, just supporting us, holding us down. Wouldn't be this close to community without her.
Right.
So much love to all the mamas out there.
Sacha
and a little seed that's coming through as well.
That's cool, that one coming.
Yeah,
for me, you know, I can't bring buffalo to this part of the area. It's like, I can't do that. I can bring corn and seeds and things like that, but mine is bison, right, out there, and of course the plants too. But I want to thank you, Christian Matute Sagbai, for being here, Rad Pidera, and Deogande Hall. I hope you come back. Really do. I want that. And lend a common person voice like we do to each other out there at the table that we sit at, other than this one. So, but I want to thank you all for joining us here on First Voices Radio. Yeah, and remember, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Buzzsprout, and Spotify. This is not a commercial. It's just how you can listen to us otherwise. And First Voices, indigenousradio.org for archive downloading and listening. And thank you to Liz Hill and to Malcolm, who is our engineer, guiding us through this time and space. And yeah, but thank you. And we're going to go out with this music called Mother, and it's by Soulja.
They should have known this couldn't last forever. They should have known this cannot last so long. And yes, they should have known when we go murder our mother to consecrate from the father who's gonna be his strong. So fresh and green, that what we gonna give will be what we getting, and what we sow will be what we reap. And if you take the blood out from a vein, think they gonna never ever be the same. Who will repair? Who will bear the blame for the cost of this dangerous Babylon game?
thought I would come and spread the message. They should have known the righteous won't sit and watch. They should have known I and I work for the Father. I and I will defend my mother. They should have known, but no, they did not. I know, all in love is dead. Why, and I know, with the wickedness come, wickedness go. All in love is dead.
There. This is Jello Biafra. If you're tired of the OCA, Walt Disney, Westinghouse, General Electric, and police departments telling you what you should listen to, stay tuned in to KBOO Portland, listener-sponsored, non-commercial community